Well, as we reflect on this, it seems like some things don't change very much. And that if we read on in Micah, we'd hear a lot more about the Assyrians. And they were coming to great power in that time. And they're, of course, a part of our news about every day also. We hear a lot about the Syrians these days. Micah was written some 2,700 years ago, and Israel and Judah had come into some power by then, but it was never easy. As now, nations were always trying to get stronger and take over nations that were near to them. Micah warned of this, and soon after the time that he prophesied, the Syrians did take over Israel and took many of them back to Syria. And while they also occupied the land, and their people came down and were intermarried, and letting to the Samaritans that we heard about in the days of Jesus. But before Israel and Judah were taken over, however, and when they enjoyed a kind of relative wealth and prominence, their leaders did not act very well. This was in the time of Micah. They loved their money, and the governmental leaders were susceptible to bribes. Corruption and hypocrisy were rampant. In other verses in Micah, he says, "Rulers give judgments for a bribe. The priests teach for a price. The prophets give oracles for money. Yet they lean upon the Lord and say, 'Surely the Lord is with us. No harm shall come to us.'" So they spoke out of both sides of the mouth, you might say, doing all kinds of things on their own that for money, but yet saying, "Oh, God is with us." Both the church and the government were crooked and money hungry. And actually, money was a new feature in those days, as the economy had kind of changed in those days from being a barter kind of economy to being cash for goods. And so there was a new way of living with a more modern kind of economy. They had all this corruption going on. They lived in perpetual fear, always wondering what nation might take them over next. And then we think about our time, in our days of politics by money, church scandals of either money abuse or sexual abuse or fear of the other, we have lots in common with those days of Micah. But the answer comes from Micah as kind of a surprise. First of all, he was a surprise himself. He's close to the time of Isaiah, and we know about the great prophet Isaiah, who was from the capital city and came from a family of prominence, so Isaiah came to the role with kind of a prominence. But Micah was from a small hill town not far from Bethlehem. And in his prophecy, though, Micah proclaims this word of hope and strength. He says, even though it comes from surprising places, as he himself came from a surprising place. He is reminding them and us that God's covenant with David, the one from old and ancient days, is an eternal covenant and an everlasting one. Even now. Even as they were under threat, he said, a new ruler will rise, not from Jerusalem, but from Bethlehem, a small village. The ruler will not exercise military authority like the Assyrians, but the new ruler will be one of peace, who provides for his people more like a shepherd would. Just as the great leader David, who had been a shepherd, came from Bethlehem, the new leader would be great and would come from Bethlehem, but would be a person of peace. So often, it seems like God delights in doing what's not expected. Abraham and Sarah, had their baby at very late in age, and the name Isaac, their baby was called, the name means he laughs, and we remember when Sarah overheard that she would be the mother of this baby late in life, she laughed herself. So it often seems like God is kind of playing a joke on us where the answers come from and the solutions God has. David was the smallest and youngest of his brothers, pretty much forgotten by his family when Samuel came to say, "I need to anoint somebody from your family to be king." And all of his brothers paraded before Samuel, and Samuel would say, "No, not this one. Don't you have another brother somewhere?" "Oh yeah, there's that one out in the field taking care of their sheep." They brought that one in. It was David who became the great king. In the New Testament, we have been reminded of the surprising parenthood of Jesus. We have his mother from a small northern hill town, mostly Gentile town actually, and up north in Nazareth. And then Joseph's lineage is from little Bethlehem. And so it's a village of this girl, Mary, who's not a princess, but she's this village girl who receives the announcement that she will give birth to a vulnerable child who will change the world. Micah is the one who tells us long ago who this Jesus will be, because he's the one who prophesies where this Jesus will be born. When the wise men come to Herod and say, "Where we want to see the go to this star that we see up in the sky, where should we go?" And Herod didn't know, but they said, "Well, Micah says it's in Bethlehem, and that's where the new great prophet should come from." So that's where they go to. Micah's the one who's given them the hint. The Micah prophecy says that the Savior will be born out of the clan of Ephrathah, one of the smallest clans there in Bethlehem. There were a number of clans. Ephrathah was one of those clans. It was a very small one. Who expects someone great to come out of such a small situation? But that seems to be the way that Micah suggests, and it seems to be God's way of operating. From the small towns, the small clans, from the countryside, from the lowly occupations, that's where the voice comes from, which will change the world in surprising ways. Advent is a season of expectation, but it's a season of expecting things we don't expect. Micah calls us to see God's faithfulness in surprising ways, to look where we might not expect it. It's a season to remind us that while the promise of God's covenant is certain, the way it comes about isn't always predictable. Micah spoke to a world that was caught up in violence, uncertainty, corruption, new economic ways, and fear. And while we're very different than 8th century BC Judah and Israel, these same dynamics seem to be operating today. We know terror, we know fragility on local, national, and international levels. We also seek and hope that the world will be different. We yearn for security, we yearn for peace, just like they did back then. The promise of Micah is that God will be faithful and will appear in surprising ways. He says the one who is coming will stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord. He will do so with majesty in the name of the Lord. And he says the people will dwell secure. So as we move from Advent to Christmas, Micah invites us to look for God's presence where we least expect it, to be attuned to the voices of the small, the powerless, and the vulnerable. To be prepared for Christmas is to be prepared to be surprised. How will we let the one promised way back by Micah come to us now and bring the goodness of the Lord?